Please turn in your Bibles with me again to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to be preaching from the same passage, but I'm going to be looking at the other side of the issue. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. This morning I addressed our duty to the authorities, that as long as they are not asking us to disobey God, our duty given to us by God is to obey the authorities. I told you this evening I was going to look at the other side of the issue. You see, this passage not only tells us about the ruled, but the rulers. There are those who say that the authority of the government derives from the people. But God in His Word says that their authority derives from God. The first human government with capital punishment established was right after the flood. God told Moses, if man or beast sheds the blood of man, then by man their blood will be shed. And that principle has been reinforced again and again throughout the Bible, that the job of the government is to punish the evildoer. Our government has gotten so far away from that in so many respects. You see, our government wants to legislate themselves out from under God. They cry separation of church and state. You know, they can write on a piece of paper whatever they want to write. But the fact of the matter is, God calls them His servants. He says that they work for Him, and that they receive their authority from Him. He uses two different words for servant. You know, for it's minister, it says, the King James says, minister. He uses two different words. The first word is diakonos, from which we get deacon. A deacon was the one who executed the decisions of the ruler. You know, you might hear the word nowadays, agent. Their job was to, you know, the ruler would say, I want thus and thus to happen, make it so. And it's the deacon's job to get it done, to figure out how to execute those orders. The second word is liturgos. We get the word liturgy from it. And it was used in a variety of ways, and one of the ways it was used was a minister of the state. So the government rulers, the president, God views him as working for the kingdom of God. that he serves the king. Whether or not the man acknowledges it, the president of the United States is God's servant, responsible to him for his position and for the things he does in it. We need to understand the role of government and its purpose. All authority is established by God. Authority does not derive from the common consent of the people, but from God himself dictating that it will be so. He has established three institutions in the world. The first one he established at creation, the family. The husband, the wife, and their children. The second institution he established after the flood, human government. And then the third institution he established at Pentecost, the church. Three institutions that God established with separate areas of authority. The job of the government, do you remember I told you that tribal primitive kingship was viewed as having primarily two roles? The king was not lawmaker, the king was war leader and judge. This is what this passage is telling us, that is the job of the government. You know, it says that he is to punish the evildoer and praise the good. How do good and evil exist except in the context of God? I grew up, you know, I'm of the generation where our parents were hippies or Vietnam vets, you know. And I heard repeatedly, you can't legislate morality. That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard, because every law that is passed that says it is wrong for you to do something is establishing morality. If the law says it is wrong for you to steal, that is establishing, legislating morality. If the law says it is wrong for you to murder someone, that is legislating morality. It was a dishonest argument. You can legislate morality, but how do you do so without God? I was telling someone, I said, the courts, with their insistence on driving God out of any question of government, have really shot themselves in the foot. Because if there is no God, there is no right and wrong. If there is no God, then they have no authority, and they're just bullies forcing their will on us. It is only when we understand the biblical structure. You know, the Bible gives the father authority in his family, but I am not to view it as for my pleasure, but as God's servant over my family. So the decisions I am to make are not to be for what I want, but what God would want for my family. I am to view myself as God's servant, serving my family. The pastor has authority over the local church, but not as a dictator, but as the servant of God, seeking what is best for the people of the church. Even so, the ruler in government is not to view himself as being ruling independent of God, but rather he is ruling in the name of God. Every concept of morality, if you throw out God, there is no morality. The atheists say you can be moral without God. No, no. The honest atheists throw that out. Nietzsche, the one who said God is dead, he argued correctly that you can't have right and wrong and not have God. Pastor Weigel and I, we were talking about it. If you throw out God, everything becomes pragmatic rather than moral. Why should I not kill you and take what is yours if there is no God? Well, perhaps I don't have the ability to do that. I'm not strong enough, not fast enough, don't have the weapons. Perhaps you have bigger weapons than I do. But that becomes the reason. You know, how long have guns existed? Does anybody know? They've been in the West since the 1200s. That's when they first showed up in Europe. And they've gotten better over time. But we've had repeating weapons, repeat fire weapons, since the end of the Civil War. That's 150 years that we've had repeat fire weapons. I'm 41. I don't remember hearing about these mass shootings going on when I was growing up. Why? I've said this to several people. I said, why has no one addressed the question that we've had these kind of weapons for a long time and these shootings didn't happen before? We've always been okay with our citizenry owning guns, and formerly even more okay than we are now. Why didn't it happen then? But it's happening now. Why is it that I lived in Los Angeles that at that time had 10 million people and my parents and my friends' parents were unafraid to let us go play all over the place outside in the big city? We didn't live out in the country. Our playground was the asphalt of the street. You know, it's like you're playing, you know, ball out in the street and you're like, all right, car, everybody clear. All right, get back out in the street, play some more. But nobody does that now. In fact, you leave your kids unattended by themselves outside, you get the cops called on you. Why? What has changed? I'll tell you what's changed. For some 250 years, our nation saw itself as under God. Yes, the Constitution has a separation. It says, there shall be no law respecting an establishment of religion or affecting the free exercise thereof. I don't like the games they play with the wording nowadays, because classically, everybody understood what that meant. An establishment of religion is you make an organization the state religion, like the Catholic Church is in a number of countries, or the Lutherans are in Northern Europe, or like the Church of England is in Great Britain and many of the countries of the Commonwealth, or Islam is in numerous countries. That is an establishment of religion. You know, when we used to play hangman, we used to put lots and lots and lots of dashes, and it worked sometimes, but then after a while everybody knew what you were referencing. You were referencing anti-disestablishmentarianism. And what that is that there was the establishment of religion. That's where you had state churches. Then there was the movement anti-establishmentarianism. You were against state churches. You know, the disestablishmentarianism. That's where you get rid of the state churches. Then the anti-disestablishmentarianism, where the people who said, you guys who want to get rid of state churches are wrong. There should be state churches. So, you know, that big, long word, anti-disestablishmentarianism. It referred to that practice that used to be practiced. The U.S. was the first country that said, as far as your conscience goes, believe what you want. As long as you do not harm, as long as your actions don't lead to you harming someone else, believe what you want. But even though they established that as part of the Constitution and practice it that way, they did not get rid of religion. The current view of separation of church and state, I don't mean to get into politics, but the current view is wrong. It is not what they meant. I mean, I even read a guy who admitted, he said, we know that the founding fathers didn't mean by that what we mean. And he talked about how Thomas Jefferson didn't see a problem with letting a church hold a meeting in the Supreme Court building when the Supreme Court wasn't in session, that he didn't have a problem with that. The reason I'm talking about our country is they understood that they were not free from their responsibility to God. They were against putting any one organized religion, whether it's the Church of England or the Catholic Church or the Lutherans or the Presbyterians, they were against establishing any one of those as a state church. But they still knew that they were obligated to God. Government becomes a rule by force just by being a bully without God. Morality, the authority of the government and morality, all stems from God. There is no right and wrong without God. You can't tell me I'm doing wrong if there is no God. That concept derives from the idea of God. So many of these atheists, they make ridiculous arguments. I had one trying to convince me I was wrong for eating meat. And I said, there are two basic propositions, that there is a divine authority or that there isn't. Would you agree? It has to be one or the other. And he said, yes. I said, well, if we allow that there is a divine authority, then it's only the divine authority that gets to say what's right and what's wrong. And the Bible says I can eat meat. I said, if we allow that there is no divine authority, well, the scientists say that taxonomically, I am an omnivore, so I get to eat meat. So, however you want to fall on that issue, you're wrong. I get to eat meat. But it's the same thing about government. If we accept that there's the two basic propositions, either there's a divine authority or there isn't. If there's a divine authority, then only the divine authority gets to establish what's right and what's wrong, and all authority stems from that divine authority. So the government has a responsibility to rule in accordance to the dictates of that divine authority. They punish what he says you punish. They rule according to what he says how you rule. If there is no God, then there is no basis for their authority at all. There is no basis logically for them to say that I am doing wrong on any issue. It becomes simply do it or else. I said once, I got quite a reaction on a political forum. I said, I don't vote for people according to the positions that they hold. I vote based on the kind of person they are. I said, here's the thing. I don't know a whole lot about international, you know, I don't have enough information about international politics to be able to say what the foreign policy should be. I don't have enough information to make these decisions. I can't, and I can't take the time to learn because I have a life to live. I have a family to raise. I have a job to work, a church to serve. I don't have time. So I need to be able to trust my leader to do the right thing. So the person I want to vote for is the person that I can look at their life and say, this person is a person of character who honors God and wants to do the right thing. Sadly, I don't think that that's going to be a choice this next election. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But the point is, the world's view of government in the U.S., this common view of total separation of any idea of religion and the government, is wrong, biblically. The government derives its authority from God and is responsible to him to rule according to his dictates. What he has set out is right and wrong. So pray, what I want you to do with this, if God should so work that one of you end up in a position of authority in our city, state, or nation, will God be praised? Take this and use it to govern your choices and your actions in that position. But there's a couple of things in the meantime that I want you to do. I want you to pray for your leaders, that God would work in their hearts and in their lives that they might submit to God as their king and rule according to his dictates, and that God would bless them and give them wisdom and understanding, and pray that if they will not yield to God as king, that God would remove them from authority and put someone in place who will. And secondly, we do live in a republic that allows us to vote. Vote for people who view their position as a service to God. We want those people in office. You know, It's hard to think of a country that doesn't have voting. Now we take it that that was the case, but you know that's new in the world. At the time of World War I, most of the nations on earth were monarchies. Most of them. We were the first republic. We were the first ones. We modeled ourselves after the old Roman Republic. That lays on us a great responsibility. We're expected to vote and to take part in our government in that way. Well, we should view that role as a service to God, not trying to create this artificial separation that God's word does not separate, you know, that God's word does not support. There is nowhere in your life that God is not king. And that includes in your civil life. Pray for our nation. Pray for our city, pray for our state, pray for our nation. That God will be with our leaders, and that God will put men in place who honor him and serve him above all others. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your great love. I pray, Father, that you might work in each one of us, change the way we think, the way we feel. Teach us, Father, to always and in all things serve you. We thank you, Father, for your great love. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who has never accepted Christ, that who doesn't have you as their king, I pray, Father, that you might work in their life even now, that they might come to you as king and that they might come to you as Savior and ask you to forgive them for their sins and to accept Christ as their Savior. I pray for the saved, that you bless them and be with them, and draw them closer to you, and day by day conform them to the very image of your Son. Bless now, O Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, pray these things. Amen.